By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ya Nurallah. Dear viewers of the channel, mashallah, you are watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program. As you know that when you watch Arise and Shine, we always begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that if a person recites salutations Durood e Pak upon me, I, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, 1,000 times in a day, then he will not die until he has seen his place in paradise. Allahu Akbar. You know, if you look at this particular hadith, and it makes you think that, you know, 1,000 sounds like a big number, and it is a big number in essence. But if you sit down, and whilst you're traveling, especially whilst you're traveling on a bus, in your car, then you will be surprised at how quickly you can recite 1,000 salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And not only that, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that you will not die until you've seen your place in paradise. So mashallah, this looks like, hopefully inshallah, through the mercy of Allah azza wa jalla, this will be one of the things that will enable you to enter paradise. So please make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak. Set aside some time. I know we all have a busy schedule. I know we all have a busy life. But no matter who you are, we all have 24 hours in a day. No matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how sick you are. So we should utilize that time. And one of the best ways in utilizing that time is sending salutations upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And like we said many times before, who knows that one extra Durood e Pak that we send today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Viewers of the channel, as you know, when you watch Rise and Shine, the very first package that we have is probably the best possible way that we can start our day. And that is in listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. And I pray to Allah that every house can start the day in reading or listening to the Holy Quran. So let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran, and then we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
ان فی ذلک لآیہ وما کان اکثرہم مؤمنین.
بے شک اس میں ضرور نشانی ہے اور ان میں اکثر مسلمان نہ تھے.
وان ربک لہو العزیز الرحیم.
اور بے شک تمہارا رب ہی عزت والا مہربان ہے.
كذبت عاد المرسلين اذ قال لهم اخوهم هود الا تتقون.
عاد نے رسولوں کو جھٹلایا جبکہ ان سے ان کے ہم قوم ہود نے فرمایا کیا تم ڈرتے نہیں.
انی لکم رسول امین فاتقوا اللہ واطیعون.
بے شک میں تمہارے لیے اللہ کا امانت دار رسول ہوں، تو اللہ سے ڈرو اور میرا حکم مانو.
وما اسألکم علیہ من اجر ان اجری الا علی رب العالمین.
اور میں تم سے اس پر کچھ اجرت نہیں مانگتا، میرا اجر تو اسی پر ہے جو سارے جہان کا رب.
اتبنون بكل ریع آیة تعبثون وتتخذون مصانع لعلكم تخلدون.
کیا ہر بلندی پر ایک نشان بناتے ہو، راہگیروں سے ہنسنے کو، اور مضبوط محل چنتے ہو اس امید پر کہ تم ہمیشہ رہو گے.
وَإِذَا بَطَشْتُمْ بَطَشْتُمْ جَبَّارِينَ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ.
اور جب کسی پر گرفت کرتے ہو تو بڑی بے دردی سے گرفت کرتے ہو، تو اللہ سے ڈرو اور میرا حکم مانو.
واتقوا الذي امدكم بما تعلمون
اور اس سے ڈرو جس نے تمہاری مدد کی ان چیزوں سے کہ تمہیں معلوم ہیں
امدکم بانعام وبنین وجنات وعیون
تمہاری مدد کی چوپایوں اور بیٹوں اور باغوں اور چشموں سے
انی اخاف علیکم عذاب یوم عظیم
بے شک مجھے تم پر ڈر ہے ایک بڑے دن کے عذاب کا
قالوا سواء علینا اوعظت ام لم تکن من الواعظین
بولے ہمیں برابر ہے چاہے تم نصیحت کرو یا ناصحوں میں نہ ہو
ان هذا الا خلق الاولین
یہ تو نہیں مگر وہی اگلوں کی ریت یعنی رسم و رواج
وما نحن بمعذبین فکذبوه فاہلکناہم ان فی ذلک لآیہ وما کان اکثرہم مؤمنین
اور ہمیں عذاب ہونا نہیں تو انہوں نے اسے جھٹلایا تو ہم نے انہیں ہلاک کیا بے شک اس میں ضرور نشانی ہے اور ان میں بہت مسلمان نہ تھے
وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ
اور بے شک تمہارا رب ہی عزت والا مہربان ہے
صدق اللہ العظیم
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم یوز اللہ چینل ماشاءاللہ وی ہیڈ دی بلیسڈ اپورچونٹی ٹو لسن ٹو سم ورسز آف دا ہولی قرآن And, you know, we're fortunate enough that in this particular instance, we had the translation as well. And I think it's very important upon all of us that we understand the words of our Rabb, the words of our Creator. And so it's very important that we read a translation of the Quran. And alhamdulillah, Kanzul Iman is probably the best translation that you could get, written by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. It's in the Urdu language. And now, alhamdulillah, Dawud Salam has translated this Quran into English language, and it's available online, and it's available from our bookshops. And I think every household needs to have this translation in their house. When you read the translation of Kanzul Iman, because it was written by a lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a true lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then when you read the translation, you feel the love coming through. Now in the English, it cannot express, you know, when you cannot have the full expression coming through. But as much as possible, that expression has come through into the English language as well. And again, we all know that it's part of our iman to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in reading the Quran, in reading the translation, not only are you coming to understand what your Rabb wants of you, what your Rabb is telling you, what your Rabb is informing you of, but at the same time, you're developing that love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today we're going to talk a little bit about our character, the respectful character, the character that we should have, or the character that we should develop, inshallah. But I want to leave you with this message before we go to the kalam of the day, that try and set aside some time every day to read the Quran. Amir al-Sunnah in the Pious Deeds booklet, he advises us to read at least 3 verses of the Quran with translation and commentary. And I think if we can make that habit on a daily basis, we'll start to see a change in ourselves. We'll start to develop, you know, that thirst inside ourselves. Initially what happens is you don't want to read the Quran. Shaitanic whispers pull you away from reading the Quran, and you don't want to go, and you make all sorts of excuses. But once you start reading it, and you start reading especially the translation, that thirst will develop inside you. And before you know it, you're not reading 3 verses, you're reading 4, you're reading 5, you're reading 6, and you're reading 7. And in the same way that unfortunately, you know, when you're on social media and time flies, and before you know it, half an hour's gone, and you think to yourself, I've wasted that half hour. You know, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that day comes, that when we are reading that Quran and we make the intention of reading it for 5 minutes, before we know it, half an hour's gone, before we know it, an hour's gone. And at least after that half an hour, we'll be able to say to ourselves, you know what? Okay, half an hour's gone, but I didn't waste this time. I utilized this time in probably the best way possible. And that is the reading the words of the Creator, reading the Holy Quran, and trying to understand what my Creator wants of me. If you're on the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And before we continue with the topic of the day, let's go to the Kalam of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we'll start on the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
سلم دائما أبدا على حبيبي بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم محمد سيد الكونين وثق عليه محمد سيد الكونين وثقلين والفارقين من عرب ومن عجم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به سواك عند حلول الحديث العمم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم ثم الرضا عن أبي بكر وعن عمر ثم الرضا أبي بكر وعن عمر وعن علي وعن عثمان ذي الكرم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا ربي جمعا طلبنا منك مغفرة يا ربي جمعا طلبنا منك مغفرة وحسن خاتمة يا مبدي النعم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم يا ربي مصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا يا ربي بالمصطفى
المصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم
مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها واغفر لي قارئها واغفر لي سامعها سألتك الخير يا ذا الجود والكرم
مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيب بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and today we're talking about a respectful character, the importance of our character. And here, the viewers that are watching from UK or USA, Canada, any part of the, you would say, the non-Muslim majority world, you'll all have come across the experience of people that have come to Islam, people that have accepted Islam, both brothers and sisters. And in the majority of the cases, it will not be through the fact that they have read or studied the Quran. It will not be through the fact that they have studied the history of Islam. It will not be through any other reason other than either one of two things. Either they have studied the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and seen what a beautiful, ideal character he is. Or in fact, in most cases, that doesn't happen because people aren't inclined to read the biographies of other people. There are some people who read biographies of famous people, but the majority aren't. So in the case of people that come to the Islam, the majority of people that come to Islam by the person that's in front of them, i.e. you. Each and every one of you is an ambassador of Islam. Each and every one of you represents Islam. People don't know the intricacies of the Quran, the intricacies of the Hadith, the Seerah, all of these things, they don't know. You know, they say that the first impression is the lasting impression. So the first impression that anybody gets of Islam is you. And so what do they see in you? You know, it's not the beauty in your face, because there are beauty in every race and color and creed. And they may say that there's beauty in, you know, wherever people come from, whatever their background is. So it's the character that shines through. And so it's the character that's very, very important as a Muslim, not only to live our life according to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we are taught. And in adopting the characteristics that we are taught in our deen, it makes us a better person. But in making us a better person, that reflection is then reflected onto the people in front of us. And so the image that they get about us is your character. So if you were to talk to people now that what are Muslims like, then what would they characterize them as? Would they characterize them as liars, cheats, swindlers, swearers, credit card fraud, tax fraud, insurance fraud, all sorts of things, whatever you want to come up with? And if they do, then whose fault is it? It's ours, because we have presented that image. That is the image of Islam that we have given to people. And so we need to be very wary of the image that we create to people. And so our character is very, very, very important. And today, inshallah, I think we've got Hafiz Mushadan from South Africa. I don't know if he's online at the moment, but if he's online, we'll take him. And then inshallah, we'll continue with the topic. Hafiz, how about you online? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa
alaykum assalam. How are you, Hafiz?
Alhamdulillah,
ala kulli hal. Mashallah. We're talking about our character. And again, character, respectful character, is such a broad topic. You know, you could pick on any aspect of this topic. And I've just touched on upon the fact that, you know, as Muslims, each and every one of us is an ambassador of Islam. We are representing our Islam. And so our character shines through, and this is what people see. And this is how I see it here in the UK, that if people come to Islam, it's not through studying the Quran, not through studying the Hadith, it's through looking at the person that's in front of them. And I think maybe you can, you know, add to that with your experiences in South Africa.
Subhanallah, Azza wa Jal, what you are saying is so true.
a person is impressed by the behavior of a practical Muslim. Because a practical Muslim will be honest, will not speak lies, will be tolerant, will have patience, all these beautiful qualities. Who doesn't want this? So many people out there who revert to Islam, they see these beautiful qualities. How are these people teetotalers that, you know, they stay away from alcohol, they stay away from these evils in society, they stay away from immorality, and they're living lives of tranquility. I also want that. Subhanallah. And then that's one step towards their reversion. Something so important that Islam teaches us something. The best thing a father can give to his child is to teach that child good manners.
Subhanallah.
And am I, as a parent or a grandparent, am I conveying this message? Am I training my offspring with good manners? I remember in Jami'ah that, you know, our teachers used to tell us, you are studying ilm al-deen, different sciences of Islam. But if you studied all of these things, and if you did not refine your character, if you did not learn adab and good manners, you have wasted your time. So yes, knowledge is important. Adab and respect, good manners, character refinement is also important. And Islam teaches us this. We just have to look at the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we'll see this. We'll see the emphasis on refining one's character. Because just by this alone, people accept Islam, even without you maybe even saying anything. But the way you conduct yourself, the words that you choose, that there's no vulgarism, there's no obscenities. Today we have these obscene jokes and these lewdness that is there. No, everything is pure, simple, good words, only inviting towards goodness. And this is how a believer is supposed to be. And this also is in following in the footsteps of Imam Ali Maqam, Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. Look at his character. Look at the character of the Ahlul Bayt, especially those who were there at Karbala. The women folk, although they see their sons and nephews and their family falling one by one, but they did not keep the burqa and niqab one side and run onto the battlefield amongst the strange men. They had tolerance. That's part of good character. They had patience, and it's part of good character. And we who claim that we love them, we must follow them as well. Not just make empty statements that I love Ahlul Bayt, I love Sahaba Ikram, I love Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, and I don't. So in speech, I love Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, but in action, I'm actually following in the footsteps of Yazid, who loved alcohol and riba and interest and all these immoral things that he spread at that time.
I was listening to you very carefully then, and there were so many things I was trying to think, you know, that when you finish, I'll comment on this, I'll mention this. And there's so many things you've packed into that 2 or 3 minutes that I could probably do a whole beyond on it. I mean, right at the beginning, you mentioned the fact that people are impressed by the fact that people are teetotal, that people are staying away from alcohol. So this is in our nature to admire or to look, to want to be like that. Yeah, and it's part of the human nature in that. And, you know, Islam basically follows the human nature. And so people, you know, they don't like people being vulgar. They don't like people getting drunk. They don't like people being intoxicated and all. So it's part of this human nature to be attracted towards this. But again, something very, very important that you mentioned, which is, you know, you mentioned quite a lot of important things there. But something that you mentioned in the middle, I know you mentioned the fact of Imam Hussein towards the end. But in the middle, you mentioned the fact about the tarbiyat of the children. The best thing that a father can give to his child is the character of the children. And I think that is something that many parents don't pick up on. I think if you were to ask them, what is the most important thing that you can give to your children? They will say, yes, a good education, but that will be a worldly education. Or they will be say that, you know, a good financial standing, you know, a good degree, you know, financial stability, all the material things that he needs to stay in this society, they will be at the top of the list. And if you were to ask people to create a list of things that they feel that they should give to their children, would that actually be in the list? Would character actually be in the list, let alone where would it be in the list? Would it actually be in the list? And I think that's something that we need to ponder over.
Look, we have to, because if we don't, you know what's going to happen? It will come back to bite us. When that same child who's growing up is not respectful to us, does not give us honor as a parent and dignity. I'll ask the question, why? How did this happen? Did you teach that child to refine their character? Did you teach them good manners, to respect you and to respect others as well, to respect themselves? Did you do it or not? Or you just fed them with materialism and, you know, just, as you said, a good financial standing and knowledge. Okay, that's good to have. As long as it's used in the right ways, it's good to have. But foundation is what? Foundation is that, you know, Quran and Sunnah, Hadith, this is foundation. Islamic knowledge is foundation. If that is missing, if there's cracks in that, then later on it will have a negative impact on their lives. And then that could turn around and bite you as well. And why didn't I invest in my child's Islamic education? Yes, world education is there. The financial standing is there. All of these things are in its place. But foundation. Foundation is strong. The building is strong in the environment of Dawood Islami. That to the kids, go home, kiss your mother's hand, kiss your father's hand, kiss your mother's feet. This is about, you know, their character. But to give that due respect to their parents, to their elders as well, subhanAllah. And even if you're big, even if you are an adolescent, kiss your mother's hand, kiss your father's hand, kiss your mother's feet. You know, don't let the ego say that, oh, I'm going big now. No, it's not like that. Our deen is simple. Our deen is beautiful. This is all part of the character that's taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taught to us by all Sahaba ikram alayhi muridwan, taught to us by the honorable Ahlul Bayt Adhar, Sayyidina Imam Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhuma, and the rest of them. And if I love them, I must follow them.
And you mentioned, like I mentioned towards the end of your first comment, you mentioned about, you know, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, how we should be following him. But unfortunately, you know, in our day-to-day acts, we will never admit it, but we are following the acts of Yazid. And that is something that we need to contemplate on. And I don't know if you can add to that. You mentioned the fact that, you know, there was usury and there was alcohol. But I think there's many, many other things of aspects in our life that, you know, we are following Yazid, unfortunately. And that is something that, especially on these days where we are told to contemplate and we hear the stories, and you'll go to the masjid and the Imam Sahib will tell you about the story of Karbala. People will around you get upset. You will automatically get upset. And, you know, you'll think about what's happening there. But then, you know, to reflect on it and ask yourself that, you know, who am I? You know, here am I crying and getting upset because of what happened. But am I not being hypocritical in the fact that I'm saying one thing, but I'm doing another thing? I'm following the acts of Yazid.
That's true. But you see, an important thing is that I'm not there to judge anybody else. I need to judge myself. I mustn't look at so-and-so that, hey, you know what, he doesn't need a salah. You know, he doesn't have a beard or Islamic sister, for other Islamic sisters that they're not wearing their burqa and what have you. I'm not there to judge others. I'm there to judge myself. That, okay, I need to learn my deen. I need to practice my deen for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I must continuously judge myself. And Khalid Bhai, you know, I'm telling you, our Amira al-Sunnah Dam Barakatul Aliyah has done us a huge favor. That, you know, on your own, you can help to refine your character. And how? With a program called Nek A'mal. This is for character refinement. SubhanAllah, those who are practicing, they see the benefits, because you're asking yourself, you're doing introspection, and you're asking yourself those questions. And you see your progress. You know, I need to put a tick here. Don't do it for the people. Do it for the pleasure of Allah. Do it to refine your own character. And over a period of time, you will see those positive effects and impacts on your life if we are practical upon it. And very quickly, I wanted to say, we as lovers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba ikram and Ahlul Bayt, we don't mourn the martyrs. Yes, we may get emotional. Maybe a tear may come out from our eyes. But we don't mourn them. Because the martyrs, by becoming martyrs, they have reached that special station in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Allah.
And therefore we remember them as well. And in the hereafter, in the akhirah, what a great status they have. So we don't mourn them. Imam Hussain radiallahu anhu, their ultimate sacrifices, because of that, you and I are here today.
You know something that you mentioned, remind me of something. You said at the beginning that, you know, I'm not here to judge, I'm here to rectify myself. And I know when I came into the environment of Dawat Islami, and I was in Pakistan at the time, and I traveled to Balochistan, and I was asked to do a speech, and I was scared, I was worried. And, you know, I said, you know, that I'm not a good person. You know, I'm not good enough to do this. You know, mashallah, you're all very, very pious brothers. You do the speeches. And the person that brought me into the environment of Dawat Islami, he gave me one beautiful madri pearl then, and I've never forgotten it. And he said to me, Khalid Bhai, throughout your life, whenever you give a dars, whenever you give a bayan, think to yourself that you're giving this bayan, this dars to yourself. You're not giving it to anybody else. Yeah? If anybody else benefits from it, so be it. But that dars, that bayan, that lesson is for you and for you only. And that's something that I've adopted that, you know, and I think it's something that we all need to adopt. And like you said, that's the beauty of Dawah Islami, that we come into the environment of Dawah Islami to rectify ourselves. I must strive to rectify myself. And that's the foremost thing. And, you know, a medicine puts that pain in your heart that in rectifying yourself, hopefully you can rectify others as well and work towards that. And I think you mentioned there another beautiful Madani pearl that I did not think about, but I should have thought about, was the Pious Deeds booklet. And alhamdulillah, viewers of Madani Channel, that can be downloaded completely free of charge. There is an app, the Pious Deeds app, you can download. Basically, it's a reflection on yourself to look at yourself on a daily basis. What have I done today? What should have I done today? What didn't I do today? You know, and things. And it's like a guide. And I think if you get into the habit of filling that in, inshallah, you'll see a change inside yourself. Hafiz Sahab, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you. And, you know, whenever I see your blessed face, it brings back a lot of blessed memories. Your hair is starting to go white, a little bit like mine now. We're getting a little bit older. You mentioned at the beginning that, you know, not only as fathers, but also as grandparents, we have a responsibility now. And do dua that, inshallah, that we can continue following in the footsteps of Amirul Sunnah and stay in this beautiful environment of Dawah Islami. Jazakallah, Asaf. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Viewers on the channel, mashallah. Nashad Bhai, I've known him for a long time. I remember, you know, when he was studying in Jamiatul Madina in Karachi in Pakistan. And, you know, without a doubt, those people that have lived in the West or lived in other countries, to go abroad and go to places like Pakistan, you know, we all know that going there on a holiday, you know, we have the luxuries and everything on it. But actually going there to study, being in that environment, in that heat, studying in places where sometimes the electricity goes, this is a huge sacrifice that people like Hafiz Nashad and many others have made, that when they go away, they leave their homes to study the Deen of Islam. And that shows you how important it is. And if you look at our pious predecessors, they all did this. They all traveled. You know, there's no such thing as a USB that you can plug into your head and download the knowledge of Islam. It all involves sacrifice. And these people have sacrificed their lives, their time to acquire the knowledge of the Deen. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward them. But in saying that, by acquiring that knowledge, you know, they've also acquired that character, that humble character. And you see in them, it reflects through that what a beautiful character these people have. And that beautiful character, the source of that beautiful character is the knowledge of the Deen, the seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ayat of the Quran, the hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that all reflects through that, through these scholars, through these knowledgeable people. And when you sit with the knowledgeable people, you realize that what little you know. So now we're going to go to the reminder of the day. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about our beautiful character that we should have. Let's go to the reminder of the day. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My dear viewers of Madani Channel, we live in a time where lying has become the new norm. People will lie without having any reason to lie, but we are followers of the most truthful. We are followers of He who taught, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالصِّدْقِ. You must always speak the truth. Truthfulness is necessary. فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِيرِ. Why? For truthfulness leads towards righteousness. Yes, and righteousness will bear يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. This leads towards paradise. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he always emphasized the importance of being truthful. A believer never lies. A true believer never lies. A person comes, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, I do this action, I do this action, I do that action. Drink alcohol, I do this, I do that. I also lie. Which thing should I give up first? You know, if there's one, I can only give up one. I will accept Islam true. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, stop lying. Through having stopped lying, that person also gave up everything else too. Of course, he accepted Islam first, and then he gave up everything else upon having stopped lying. Truthfulness is not just avoiding lies, it's clarity, sincerity. purity of intention. Your speech reflects your soul. When a person speaks the truth, he affects hearts. Yes, a person who always speaks the truth, he gains the trust of others. A person who always speaks the truth, he is raised and he raises others. So be truthful, but always be truthful. Yes, not just when it suits you, but even when it may bring about discomfort to yourself, we still must be truthful. Yes, people may not appreciate sometimes what we say, but we still must be honest. Let's clean our words, let's clean our promises, let's clean our faith, of course, with the truth, because lies lead towards fujur, towards wretchedness, towards corruption. And fujur leads towards Jahannam. It leads towards a fire of hell. We are Muslims. Muslims are those people who are truthful. When was the last time you have lied? Think before you speak. Are we just telling lies for no reason? No. Let's only speak the truth.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program from the UK. And today we're talking about our character, the respectful character that we should have. And, you know, mashallah, we had Hafiz Noshadan from South Africa, and he gave us many madri pearls. But one in particular that I'd like to touch upon was the fact that he said that, you know, the greatest gift that a father can give to his child is good character. And that is something that we need to contemplate on and think about. And like I said earlier on, a lot of us don't realize that that is a gift. It is a very valuable gift. And as parents, we think that material things are what we should be concentrating on. Allah Azza wa Jal says, save yourselves and your family from that fire whose fuel is stones and humans. Save yourself and your family. It's your duty to save yourself and your family. And that duty comes on the parents, that duty comes on the mother and the father. And like we said, the greatest gift that we can give is that character. But if we think for a second, where are the parents nowadays? What are the parents doing? The father is too busy. He's keeping himself very busy, working 12 hours a day, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, 6 days a week. And, you know, he's trying to make as much money as possible. And if you were to talk to him about the upbringing of the child, you know, the responsibilities of the father, and he said, well, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm working as hard as I can. All this money that I'm earning, who am I earning it for? I'm earning it for my children. I'm earning it so that my children can have a comfortable life and my children can savor this. And yeah, fair enough, it's understandable. Like Hafiz Noshad said, it's good to have that material stability, that financial stability for your child, that, you know, everybody wants their children not to go through the struggles that they've been through. And so if you've financially struggled in your life, you want to be in a position where going forward, your children are struggling. So that is something that, in as a parent, we want. But at the same time, that is not our only responsibility. Similarly, the mother. The mother thinks that the responsibility, her responsibility, is to cook, clean, wash, to make sure that there's food on the table, you know, to make sure that the house is functioning properly. And as what also happens is sometimes our sisters are also out working as well. And so because that they're working outside, and on top of that, you know, when you look at your priority list, you know, if you're working outside and you've got to come home, then your priority list is to make sure that the house is clean, that there's food on the table, that you get the washing done. And somewhere down the list is time for the children, you know. And that time for the children is very, very important. And that should be at the top of our list. If we don't have, you know, a really five-course meal today, if we don't have the house as tidy as it should be, if the clothes haven't been washed and we're having to wear some other clothes because our clothes are in the washing basket and we have to put some other clothes on, but you give your children time, that isn't that better? Instead of someone working 6 days a week, 7 days a week, so that they can have a three-bedroom semi-detached house, they live in a terraced house, but they can spend that time with the children. Obviously, that is better. And that reflects on the children. That impacts on the children. And before that, I was just thinking to myself, but before we come to that stage, again, something that Hafiz Noshad mentioned, before we come to that stage of giving our children good character, surely I need to have a good character. I need to sort myself out first. Because our children are a reflection of us. Our children will pick up on what we do. Our children will do all the things that we do. They will have our characteristics. They will, you know, use their hands like I'm using my hands. They will eat like I'm eating. They'll sit like I'm sitting. But they'll also have a character like us as well. They'll speak like us. They'll sound like us. They'll adopt all of them, both good and bad characteristics that we have. So if we have a characteristic of lying, we have a characteristic of swearing, we have a characteristic of cheating, we have a characteristic of being abusive, we have a characteristic of being aggressive, we have a characteristic of being angry, we have a characteristic of backbiting, slandering, gossiping, they will pick up on that. Your children will pick up on every one of those things. So it's very, very important that as parents, number one, we rectify ourselves. And Hafiz Nushad, you know, basically give you the prescription there. He said, if you want to rectify yourself, then pick up the Pious Deeds booklet, the Pious Deeds app. That's your prescription. You know, you want to go to the doctor and the doctor gives you a prescription of what you need to do, what you need to take. Dawah Islami is providing you with a prescription in the form of the Pious Deeds booklet, Pious Deeds app. You can download it on your phone and look at it on a daily basis. 12 minutes, that's all we're asking. And you'll see. So you need to reform yourself. And then when you are reforming yourself, you'll see your weaknesses. You'll hear about, are you backbiting? I don't even know what backbiting is. Are you, you know, succumbing to ostentation? I don't know what ostentation is. I don't know what gossiping is. I don't know what slandering is. Again, so you need to acquire that knowledge. And again, you need to attach yourself to the environment of Dawah Islami to acquire that knowledge. So first and foremost, before we can pass on something, we've got to have it ourselves. You know, I can't pass on something unless it's in my hand. So we need to acquire that knowledge. And acquiring that knowledge of how to improve our character, attach yourself to those people that are constantly trying to improve their character. Those people that are attached to Dawah Islami, myself included. We will never say that we are perfect. We will never say that we are perfect. I will always be a student of the deen till the day I die. And we all need to continuously develop ourselves, to improve ourselves, to strive and struggle, because the one thing that shaitan is looking for that little slip, you know, looking for that opportunity to get under you, to get inside you, to convince you that you're perfect so that you realize that, oh, I've got it made. So that's something, again, we're going off the topic, aren't we? But that's something that we need to be wary of. But I think what we need to do is we need to improve ourselves, rectify our character, and then inshallah, we can talk and show the character to our children. And as parents, we need to realize that we need to give them time. And there's been many stories of children that, you know, have saved up money from their pocket money. And they've said that we want to buy 1 hour of our dad's time. Allah. If only the parents could realize how valuable their time is. And you know what happens is the parents are working 12 hours, 16 hours, they come home, they're tired, and they haven't got time for the children. But I see other parents that also come home after 12 hours because the duty is harsh. They come home, no matter how tired they are, they sit down with their parents because they realize that I'm doing all of this, but who am I doing it? I'm doing it for these children. And if I can, you know, giving the children, it's not just one part I need to give them time as well. You need to have the children though. Your children need to be your best friends. You know, the sons need to be the best friends. Their best friend needs to be the father. The daughter, her best friend needs to be the mother, so that they can go to each other and ask these questions. Yes, we have this air of authority where our, you know, we should have that respect for our parents. We should have a little bit of fear for our parents, but we shouldn't be afraid of our parents in the sense that we cannot approach them and ask them questions. And, you know, because everybody's facing problems in society, and we need to be able to approach our parents and say to our parents, you know, what does Islam say about this? What should I do about this? Is this halal? Is this haram? All sorts of questions. And in today's society, I don't even have to tell you the amount of questions that children will want to ask that are in their mind. They'll have hundreds and thousands of questions in their mind, but they're afraid to ask the parents. So our parents need to be open. Our parents need to be available. Our parents need to be able to provide these answers. And again, you know, we're not scholars. You know, mashallah, Hafsabi is a scholar. And so I pray that when his children come and ask him questions, he'll be able to answer them. But if you are not a scholar, which is the majority of the case in the majority of our viewers, then scholars are available, aren't they? Go and get the answer. Go and get the answer instead of pushing the child away and say, oh, why just give me some silly questions? I don't know the answer to that. Go, you know, what's going to happen? That child is now going to go out to the house. That child is going to go on the streets. That child's going to go to his friends. Maybe their friends are non-Muslim friends, and maybe they'll ask that same question that they've asked to you or wanted to ask you. They'll ask them then. And when they ask that question, you run the risk of that child getting a non-Islamic answer. Maybe you'll get the answer that's, you know, accepted widely in society. Maybe you'll get the answer that's accepted by that friend circle that, you know, it's okay to have drugs. It's okay to have girlfriends. It's okay to have all these things. Is that the answer that you want your children to have? And because you push that child away, that now that child is going to find out the question somewhere else. So, you know, is it all right to have drugs? You know, the government says that, oh, this classification of drugs is light, so you can have them. You know, the government says that, oh, if you only have one glass of wine a day, it's okay. That's what the government's saying. That's what society is saying. That's what people are saying. But is that what Islam is saying? And so unless we give them the answer, the Islamic answer, the true answer, then our children will waver, the children will find the answers elsewhere, and when they find the answers elsewhere, then you'll regret it. So if we see our children, this is not 100%, I want to make that clear, that if we see our children wavering, if we see our children going off the path of deen, then, you know, it'll ultimately come back to us. Yeah, there are them unfortunate parents that have spent a lot of time with their children, that give them as much tarbiyat as possible, but unfortunately things have happened, circumstances have come, that unfortunately as a result of certain things that have happened, they've wavered away. But, you know, in life, you need to be able to say to yourself, have you done your best? Have you done your best in your upbringing of your child? Have you given that child the most time that you could give? You know, have you done the best for your child? And I'm not meaning by financial gain here. I'm not meaning by, you know, giving them the £20,000 wedding or the £10,000 honeymoon or the new house and the car as part of the, you know, the bridal presents. No. Have you given that child the skill set, the tools, the weapons that that child needs? And when I mean weapons, I mean knowledge. Then that weapon that child needs to push away the whispers of shaitan, to be able to live their life according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Have you given them that weapons that they need? And in most cases, we haven't. And in most cases, the reason is that we haven't got them weapons ourselves. And Dawah Islam is here to help you, to provide you with them resources, to provide you with that knowledge, to provide you with that ability in the form of, be in the form of the Nek Amal, the Pious Deeds booklet, be in the form of the weekly Ishtama that happens every Thursday night that you come to the Ishtama. Bring your children with you as well. Yes, bring your children with you as well. After the every namaz, inshallah, there's a dars, Surah Mulk, listening to Surah Mulk every day, going on the Madri Kaflas as a father and the son, if they could travel on a Madri Kafla, the courses that take place, the halqa that take place for brothers and sisters, taking your daughters with you, taking your daughters to Ishtama, you'll see a huge change in your child. Even at a young age, you think to him, oh, my child's only small, he's only two, he's only three. So what? Take them with you. Take them with you to the Ishtama. Oh, they disturb me. Yeah, but they might disturb you, but they're getting that environment there. That place is where that upbringing of that child should be. That place is where they will learn to meet them children. We're going to take a small break of the day because I know many of you that when you watch Arise and Shine, you want to listen to the hadith of the day. And I know we've not got a lot of time. So we'll quickly go to the hadith of the day. And then when we come back, we'll quickly wrap up this topic, inshallah. So let's go to the hadith of the day. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Wealth is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but only when we use it to obey Allah. Otherwise, there are many people in the dunya who have wealth to last 10 generations, but they don't use it in accordance to Sharia. They don't use it in acts that please Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They waste it. They spend it on haram. They are arrogant because of it. They fall into all sorts of trials and tribulations because of wealth. We know in a hadith that every ummah has a fitna, a trial, and the trial of this ummah is maal, is wealth. But the person who is given the ability by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to utilize that wealth properly in the way of Allah, in righteous actions and causes, that person is praiseworthy. That person is worthy of envy. And he will not only receive the benefits of that in the dunya, but in the akhirah as well. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi says, a pious person who had wealth and he spent wealth, on the day of judgment, that very wealth will testify to the iman, the taqwa, and the generosity of such a person. Subhanallah. This is what we want. We don't want to limit that wealth to worldly luxuries, fulfilling worldly desires. No, we want to gain the blessings of that wealth in the akhirah. And your wealth will testify for your iman, your taqwa, your generosity, if you used it properly in the dunya.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before the break, we mentioned the fact that as parents, we need to have that relationship with our children, that we are the best friend of our child, that the child can ask us anything. The child will tell us everything instead of being afraid to tell us. Because if they don't tell us their problems, we can't solve their problems. But they're afraid to tell us our problems of how we would react to that. You know, and sometimes our children will come to us and they'll mention something and we'll get angry at our child, and we shouldn't. They've plucked up the courage to come to you. You know, at least then have the, you know, audacity to listen to them, patience to listen to them, and try and help your children, because you want them to come to you for help rather than going to other places. But again, you know, time is very, very short, but our character reflects on our children. And we mentioned a few things earlier on that, you know, and I've mentioned it before on Madani Channel that, you know, if a child speaks Chinese, why is this? And the reason being is that the father speaks Chinese. If a child speaks Gujarati, it's because the father speaks Gujarati. If a child speaks whatever language it is, it's because the mother and father tongue. If a child swears, why does that happen? It's because we swear. And we don't realize this. And you know, like Hafiz Mashad at the beginning, he mentioned that it comes back to bite us. I remember there was an individual and he was swearing in front of his children that were only 4, 5, and 6. And I said to him that, you know, Bhai, please, you know, one, it's a bad habit, swearing. You know, you shouldn't do it, full stop. But swearing in front of your children, you know, you're making things worse here. Ah. And he just went on one. He started swearing even more. Fast forward 10, 15 years. You know, and he's saying to me that my children are swearing at me now. Now, I can't turn around to him and say to him that, look, I told you so, because that would hurt you. Because it's not a solution to the problem telling him I told you so. But this is what happens. It comes back to bite you. And also the way that we treat our children, we judge our children, we scold our children, again, is something that we need to be wary of. And I'll give you an example, again, something I've used on my channel many times before, that a child, you know, children are playing, they break something, they break a vase, they break a cup, you come into the room, you ask the question, who's done it? And you come in angrily, yeah, that who's done this? And the children are scared now, they're scared, children are pointing to each other. And, you know, you shouldn't have that in them. And they'll lie, and what happened is they'll get away without being punished because they've lied, and you're teaching them not to lie. You're teaching them to lie because lying is a good thing, because lying is something that if I lie, I can get away with it. Lying is something that if I lie, I'm not going to be punished. But teach them to tell the truth, teach them to speak the truth, and reward them for it. And this is, you know, where we need to reward our children, that if a child wants to read the namaz, they reward them, even though he's not reading it properly. A child comes and sits on your prayer mat and disturbs you to a certain extent, but reward them, don't scold them. A child tries to pick up the mother's scarf and makes a mess of it, yeah? Makes it even dirty by putting chocolate on it, whatever it is, but don't scold that child. So the upbringing of our children with regards to the character is very, very important. So I want to say to you about this, but as parents, viewers on the channel, you know, we're talking about respectful character, we're talking about our character. As parents, it's very, very important that we develop that character inside ourselves so that character can be reflected on our children. And I think it was written somewhere, I'm not going to quote the person who wrote it just in case I get a mistake, that people say that your children are like blank pieces of paper, you can write on them and write whatever you want. But someone said, no, your children are like stone. You engrave in them. And whatever you engrave in them, it stays there forever. When you make an engraving on a stone, it stays with them forever. Whereas a piece of paper, it can be rubbed off. So we need to make sure that we engrave the right engravings in our children's upbringing, that we give them the right character, the right upbringing, so that they can live a life as a role model in our society, as a role model of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our society, as a respectful person in society. And as the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that when people pass away, if people speak good about them because of their character, then inshallah, Jannat is wajib upon them. So I pray to Allah Azawajal that we all have such a character, our children develop such a character, that when we pass away, people speak good of us, that Jannat becomes wajib upon us. You've been watching Arise and Shine. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.